This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, isn't that nice? That's Kygo with Miguel and Remind Me to Forget. Monday morning. Let's get stuck into some news, shall we? My buddy Molloy has got her eye on the headlines. What do we need to know?
Well, let's check in on the mess that is the DA, shall we?
Oh, my God.
All right.
Isn't this Gatful Cape Town? Isn't that the same thing?
No. Entirely different grievances. So, the DA leader, Musi Maimane, has now decided to play open cards about the real nature of his relationship with Helen Zille.
Uh-oh.
He spoke to the Sunday Times, where he basically admitted that there has been difficulties in that relationship with the Western Cape Premier. He said that she shouldn't have been, or rather, she should have been removed a lot sooner from her position, from decision-making structures in the party after she stepped down as leader back in 2015 already, admitting that it was a mistake to keep her there longer. And then he compared his situation to a pilot trying to navigate turbulent waters while the former pilot was in the jump seat telling one what to do.
Ooh.
And then in response, Zille said that it was untenable to keep leaders and former leaders in the same structures, that there was no problem with keeping to those structures as long as the old leader understood their new role. So,
but then it sounds like they're both saying the same thing. So what's the argument about?
No. I mean, it's just a case of Maimane now deciding to reveal the fact that, the situation between him and Helen has been difficult, which is something that was never admitted before. This is also amid the internal problems that are currently plaguing the Democratic Alliance. And then over in Camp Patricia de Lille, she is heading back to court for round two of her taking on the DA leaders.
Ay.
So they will meet again in the Western Cape High Court for round two of de Lille's application for the court to review the decision to seize her party membership. Because
we are in government in Cape Town.
That's what they did. So she's going to plead her case in front of a full bench at the High Court. Those arguments will begin today and are expected to continue into tomorrow as well.
Hi, my name is Helen Zille and I'm the leader of the Democratic Alliance.
No, you're not. Musi is. That's the whole point. We're trying to tell you.
Shame. And Delil just wants her membership back.
Shame.
Yeah.
Oh my God, what a mess.
It is a mess.
Sort your shit out, people. You think your voters care about this jockeying for position? Musi, take control for God's sake. All right.
Okay, there's a very strange story coming out of the United States which involves a dermatologist who, you know, she might have thought that she was doing something harmless because she considers herself to be quite talented.
Mm-hmm.
While performing surgery, she dances around.
Oh.
She raps. You know, she then records all of this stuff and then she uploads it onto her YouTube page. And maybe with some people it caught on and it was kind of fun to watch because, you know, it was a promotional kind of thing. And there she has her staff members dancing around as well.
Uh-oh. But during operations?
During procedures, which is why she is now facing a lawsuit of dramatic proportions.
Oh, God.
There is an attorney who is representing three women in this case against the Atlanta area dermatologist who is known for singing and dancing while performing surgery. Now, the attorney says that nearly 100 other women have contacted her office to claim that they too have suffered under the doctor's scalpel. In videos that the doctor posted onto her YouTube page, the board-certified dermatologist can be seen singing as she cuts into a patient. Then she does a little rap thing. Then she dances around with surgical instruments in her hand during surgical procedures. And at times, her assistants in scrubs will sashay alongside her as well.
Oh yeah, got the dancing bag. Get yourself.
Susan Witt is the attorney representing three women who claim that they suffered from this dermatologist's work. And she says that close to 100 more women have reached out to her office in the past week to complain about their results as well.
Yeah.
Pardon my ignorance, but I didn't realize dermatologists operate. I thought I didn't realize that
deal
they...
with the...
No, I didn't realize that they...
You know what they might do?
That they are surgeons. I must just be an idiot.
I don't know if they are, but I think they can remove things like moles and, you know,
which
growths.
Could require you to go under. Yeah,
it might do. Maybe they just anesthetize the skin over that area. I don't know. But you don't want to be... Listen, not everybody needs to be famous. I don't want my dermatologist to be famous. Do you?
No.
Oh, you're such a YouTube star now. Let's operate on my face.
Yeah. So the videos have been deleted from the dermatologist YouTube channel, but it's a little bit too late now because, as you know, in these days, everything that lives on the internet, there's always a way to retrieve it and to get it back. So they do have plenty of videos as part of the evidence, but yeah, 100%. Why are you dancing and sashaying around when you have a scalpel in your hand and I'm laying on your table?
Do you know,
don't try to be famous and be a doctor.
Actually surprised there was no lawsuit sooner. Even for the mere fact, call this a superficial reason, but I wouldn't like the fact that I'm passed out with this horrible glazed look on my face with my mouth open.
Yeah, and she's dancing around.
Yeah, and that footage is up on the internet of me.
Yeah, it doesn't sound as if any of these patients have been severely disfigured or anything like that. Just, you know, they're saying that they're not happy with their results. But, I don't think that somebody walked out of her operating room grossly disfigured. But still, it's a problem.
Well, people are also going to take a chance. So they see you dancing around. They're like, I wonder if I could sue her for being...
Sure.
So we don't know. It could be just asshole patients.
Yes!
Yes, exactly.
Because this attorney is representing three women, and then when they heard about the three women, 100 more contacted her, and they said, oh, yes, by the way,
me too.
If this is going to bring in some kind of payday, right, then I don't want to be left out of this.
Hashtag me too. That's what it is. It's hopping on. Telling you, you can see, like, she's been sued, and it's probably a couple of $100,000, and now the next one wants her share, and the next one wants her share, and, hey, you know, you didn't remove that pimple of mine properly, because you were dancing around in the surgery. Get over yourselves. Yeah, none of you are dead.
It really isn't a comforting thought, to go under and...
Yeah, I don't want my doctor...
Steady hands, please.
My doctor could just focus on the operation, get it all done as quickly as possible. I'll be happy, you'll be happy, we can all go about our daily jobs. Mm. And I'm going to pay, you're going to make sure that you do the best job possible, everybody's going to be happy. Let's not be making videos. Let's leave that to Ben. Yeah?
Oh, thanks.
You do the videos, and someone else does the doctoring. All right. Outside of office hours or surgery hours, you do what you want, doctors. If you want to be a YouTube star, by all means, put on your coat and put on a show. But don't do it while you're operating on me. I don't mind if my buddy signs a form that says you can do it while she's under, that's fine, but don't do it to me. I'd prefer not.
How old is this?
Like, you don't want to go into your lawyer's office and say, hey, I'd like to get a divorce, and he goes, you're on camera! No, thank you. Don't need that either.
I think it actually even ruins their credibility.
Of course.
How old is this doctor?
Imagine you go to your financial advisor. Financial advisor sitting in their office, they've got like a hidden cam, and you don't know about it, and you walk in, and they go, I've got bad news. You go, what? And they go, I've lost your $10 million. You go, oh my God, oh my. And then you go, just kidding. It was for my new YouTube channel.
Yeah, see, that doesn't fly.
No, I hate it.
Because I'm sure
like
all of these legal shows or these medical shows, those people who appear on the shows, they have to really think about
it. People like Dr. Drew and, you know, those people who've made it seem like you now need to take a camera everywhere you go. You don't, all right? This weekend, I had a great weekend. I was with some friends, had a nice chilled time. I didn't take 1,000 pictures. It's unnecessary. If you're living a great life, you're not taking pictures and video the whole time. If you're taking pictures and video the whole time, you're trying to show people how great your life is instead of enjoying it yourself. Makes perfect sense if you just take a minute to think about it. Dummies. All right, anything else?
Let's see. So what would Roseanne look like without Roseanne Barr? Because that is something that ABC are apparently considering.
I've heard that.
After canceling the show just a few days ago, ABC is already talking about a way to bring a version of the show back, but without its namesake, Roseanne Barr. The talks with the production company, Cassie Wenner, which owns the show, are preliminary. This is according to at least two sources with knowledge of the matter. But the idea is definitely enticing to ABC. A reboot could help keep many of the Roseanne cast and crew members employed. So this is now the next phase of dealing with the incident.
What a mess.
Critics have bemoaned the fact that more than 200 people lost work when the sitcom was cancelled on Tuesday. So it sounds a little bit like ABC are saying, okay, okay, how can we turn this around? But let's not bring that Roseanne Barr person back. And apparently Roseanne admitted to begging ABC to save her show. She revealed that she begged the executives to keep the show on the air before the network cancelled its hit sitcom just a few days ago. She was also tweeting more details on their fallout, saying that she had begged her boss, Ben Sherwood, who is the president of the Disney ABC television group, to let her redeem herself. But Sherwood said, no, we're done with you. You can go. Thank you very much. But now they're trying to keep all these other 200 people employed.
So the thing is that Roseanne says that she has mental health issues and she's actually checked into a sanitarium, but... the actual diagnosis, according to people who are in the know, say that she's got multiple personality disorder. It turns out one of those personalities is a fucking racist. So I'm interested if you have multiple personality disorder, and let's say out of your four personalities, three of them are very nice. They're very nice. They got a great sense of humor. They're easy to get along with. They care about children and the environment. Let's say very open-minded, cool personalities. But your fourth one, oh my God, that's the one that you hope never comes out, but you can't really control it. And that fourth one is a terrible, swearing, dithering racist with just awful views on humanity. Absolutely nothing that makes you warm to them. It's just a nasty, nasty, nasty personality. It's self-absorbed, cruel, mean, vicious, bigoted, all of the things that you don't want in a personality. The other three are good.
Pleasant.
Sure.
Delightful.
Everybody loves them. They will turn you into a star, but your fourth one will trip you up every time you get ahead.
Then how do we know how to treat you?
I don't know. I don't know. This is where psychiatrists have to get involved with medicine and, you know, brain scans.
Do we only film the show on days when you're... three great personalities are around.
You have to sort of get everything ready, and then when she walks onto set, you have to go, which Roseanne are we dealing with here? And what if the personality that comes out is the pleasant one, but there's no humor? Maybe the funniest part of Roseanne is all tied up in that nasty one.
Yeah, they should just make that part of the show.
It's Roseanne. Okay, we're dealing with the racist today.
And then, like, that's your disclaimer. Roseanne has many, many health benefits. ailments. So the personality being
benefits.
One of them.
Benefits. Yeah.
Bear this in mind as you don't get offended in this current show.
Ah, it's so interesting.
But I'm not surprised. ABC, at the end of the day, is in the business of making money. There are several cast members on the show. And by the looks of things, the show was well-loved and characters are well-loved. It
so they can keep it alive without Roseanne.
Yeah, it makes
sense
to me.
So what do? They kill Roseanne's character? They start the next season and they say, oh, Roseanne was killed in a terrible accident.
I actually saw, because these fans go around and they make their own things happen, I saw a fan poster of the entire family and an urn.
Oh, no.
So... one of the fans was alluding to, okay, let's just create another season. The Roseanne character just happened to die and we're moving on. Because a lot of people are saying the show is good on its own. Yeah.
I don't know how we didn't know there was something wrong with Roseanne a long time ago.
She owns a nut farm, folks. Like, right. She is a nutcase. We should have seen this.
Here she is singing. I mean, that's a crazy woman.
I didn't know how long that was until I found you. I was beat, incomplete, but I didn't have
Do you remember when she sang the national anthem?
Oh, no.
It's like the best. 1990. Mm. Let's look back on the great career of Roseanne.
Tell me when I should start. Right now? Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what a penny we have at the twilight's last gleaming, whose breath drives and rides now through the perilous fight of the red country watch.
It's hurting my ears.
Hitting my leg.
People started booing her. It was hilarious.
Crying.
No, she did it.
Was she serious?
Yes, she was. She was real. She was trying to be real.
Oh my.
Oh wow.
Goodness,
okay.
That's bad.
Well, there's Roseanne, everybody. That's the one. Hey, did you hear that? Tom Arnold came out of the woodwork and said he knew that this would not end
because
well.
Because they were married. Oh, what a dysfunction.
He's piling on big time. He's having a full go at her, and he says, Roseanne is crazy, and this was always going to happen, and he's glad he's not involved in her life anymore. I mean, what a thing to say.
Mm.
You know, I mean, it's true, but you don't have to pile on. So here
I was not surprised that what went down and that the show was canceled. I had a feeling this was going to happen. When I read her social media in the very beginning and I saw how she was so into the conspiracy stuff with Donald Trump and so how far gone she was and the Pizzagate and Hillary's a pedophile and Obama wasn't born here. She was, you know, a birther and how crazy that was. I just knew that this would not end well.
That's what she said on Anderson Cooper.
Wait a minute. Hillary was accused of being a pedophile? What?
Oh, listen, there's so much. You can look up conspiracy theories. Go down that rabbit hole on your own. I'm not going to follow you down.
No, I didn't. This is the first time hearing about Hillary being a pedophile.
Oh, no. Listen, I think Hillary's a lot of things. I don't know that I could believe in my wildest imagination she's a pedophile.
I don't think she had the time. I mean, she was shredding emails. She was following up on Bill. Where does she have the time to be a pedophile?
Yeah. And that's a lot of work. Yeah. You know? I mean, it's not easy to be a pedophile these days. It's a very unpopular thing. People would find out and they would definitely punish you. I don't think that's why she lost the election. All right. Anything else you want to tell us about, Mubs?
So there is a big problem with gossip and fake news as far as social media is concerned, and now Uganda are taking an interesting move to try and contain the problem. In an attempt to prevent the gossip and the fake news of being topical, Uganda's parliament have passed a new law. They are going to be taxing people who use Facebook, WhatsApp, and Twitter. Wow.
Tax them?
They're going to start taxing them.
How do you do that?
This is according to a report by the BBC, which say that Uganda are going to impose a 200 shilling daily levy, that's about 67 cents, on people who are using social media and the messaging platforms. The tax was passed last week Wednesday, as a junior finance minister had told journalists that the tax will be levied daily by mobile phone operators. And on each SIM card, they're going to use to access any of the targeted social media platforms.
Hmm. This is a country with a few cuck ideas. Firstly, you can't be gay there.
Yes, like, it's not allowed.
You go to Uganda, don't be gay. They tell you, don't be gay this weekend while you're here.
So
when did tax ever solve anything?
Never.
Well, as far as governments are concerned, tax
is wonderful.
Allows them to collect monies, right? That's why... there are a number of governments around the world who are trying to find ways to tax cryptocurrency, for example.
But how do they think that taxing Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat is going to somehow improve fake news? How do they think that's going to happen?
I don't know.
I think they're just trying to get people to get off of social media by making it expensive so that they can keep propagandizing the public. That's what I think.
That's exactly right.
Oh, and if you're listening to us in Uganda right now, sorry for you. The government's clamping down on your freedoms. That's what they're doing.
Reuters reported back in April that the tax is going to be changed, or rather charged, to mobile phone subscribers who use the platforms because they're looking for money to maintain the security of the country.
There we go. See?
Yeah. So.
Security. When they say that word, they go, security, what they really mean is taking away your rights.
Of course, human rights activists have slammed this new law, and they're arguing that it will stifle freedom of expression and the use of the internet. We just hope... We just hope that this new law by Uganda doesn't give other countries ideas. Because really. Wait, is their president the same guy who was saying that we shouldn't have oral sex? Or was yeah. that or was yeah. that the it was, ne? Mm-hmm. Yoweri Museveni.
Yeah, and that gay guys eat the poo-poo.
Oh.
I think that was a different guy, but sorry, it was in the same country.
Yeah, but he said we shouldn't be having oral sex because the mouth is for eating.
Eating.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's right. The mouth is just for eating.
Okay.
All right, I want you to hear this thing from Ellen. All right. Ellen did this thing.
Play a different clip.
So I'm going to let you hear this. Ellen basically played a sound on her show, and she got everybody to listen to it, and you can't hear anything odd in it the first time, but listen to this.
It's like a horror movie, isn't it?
Okay, listen to this.
Listen carefully to this.
What does that sound like to you?
Gunshots.
Something crashing, like.
Okay, all right. Now she's going to play the second clip.
Play a different clip.
The juice of lemons makes fine punch.
Now I'm going to play the first clip you heard.
Did you hear it?
It's like a horror movie, isn't it?
Listen again.
Listen carefully to this. All right, now I'm going to play a different clip.
The juice of lemons makes fine punch.
Now I'm going to play the first clip you heard.
You hear it?
This is freaky.
You didn't hear it the first time. I didn't hear it the first time. The juice of lemons makes fine punch. But then... after they've played the voice clip, you hear it in the second one.
Mm.
What?
You didn't hear anything?
Are you not?
I'm sorry. Help me. No, it's fine. We'll all get there, Sia. We all get there at different paces. That's obviously, terrible. I'm lagging behind right. this morning.
No, you don't.
Okay, listen
carefully to this. All right. Now I'm going to play a different clip.
The juice of lemons makes fine punch.
Now I'm going to play the first clip you heard.
Oh my word! Oh my word! Ooh, that
you got
sounds,
it?
That sounds like a demon.
It's a demon!
Wow! I will not. Okay, I get it now.
No, that's it.
I get it now.
What do you think?
Puts that Yanni Laurel clip to shame now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
it's cute though.
Cute?
Yeah, it is cute.
The juice of lemons.
All right, when we come back, we're going to meet two guys. This is going to be interesting. Bongani Chinkanda, who is the newly appointed CEO of HDI Youth, and we are doing some work with HDI because HDI are the group that passionately help brands make meaningful, measurable, and magical differences in the lives of youth and families. HDI have been working hard to connect brands to young people for the mutual benefit of both. And they really are at the forefront of doing this. They've developed specialist ways of connecting with this market in schools, malls, communities, and the digital playgrounds of urban and rural South Africa. So we'll talk in a minute to Bongani and find out what HDI are up to and also what the Gen Next Awards, which are coming up, are all about. Stick around for that. It's the Gin Blossoms with Follow You Down. Monday morning. 20 or so minutes to 8 o'clock. I'm very, very happy to see Bongani here. He is the CEO of HDI Youth, Bongani Chinkanda, who has just been appointed there. And HDI Youth, in case you don't already know, very interesting business where they figure out what young people are all about, what they do, where they are, what they're interested in, and then they allow brands to get into that because it's a very hard thing to be able to coordinate. And some of the time, people who don't know what's going on with young people make all kinds of suppositions, and very often they are wrong. How are you, Mongani?
Hi, Gareth. How are you doing?
Nice to see you, man. Congrats on the new appointment.
Thank you.
Yes. How long have you been in the job already?
Jeez, it feels like forever, but started last year in November.
Good. Well, then you've already got lots of experience, but you did have before that because you were at an agency before that here in Johannesburg. You joined Elevator as the business and strategy director, and you moved into this role at HDI. What's it like working with, you know, particularly brands you're trying to reach young people because their demands are often ridiculous?
Geez, it's amazing. I think it's you soon realize that you had a passion, but only when you start doing it. Only when you start doing it, that's when you see that actually you're passionate about youth. So, and having been in the job for over 6 months now, makes me realize how important the youth are to the country in any conversation. They would determine our future and how we consume brands and how we see the world.
So let's talk about young people in South Africa at the moment. First of all, they're not monolithic, so they don't all think the same way, do the same things, care about the same stuff.
Agreed, totally. Okay.
So how easy is it to gather information about them now? I mean, clearly with social media and everything else, it's a lot easier than it's ever been.
Definitely, definitely.
But what do we know? Because you're the guy, you and HDI are the people who have to figure out from all of this data, what's going on?
Yeah, so next week we are releasing for the 15th time, Generation Next Consumer and Brand Survey, and it's also a lifestyle study.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we send out a team to go out and interview about 7,000 youth across the country. And what these guys do is they tell us what they think of brands and why they consume brands in certain ways, and also what they think brands are getting right or getting wrong. And it's very interesting that as much as they're not monolithic, you find that there's two things. We find that there's a need state, which I'll explain, but then there's also access. So whether you are a township youth or you are one who stays in Stellenbosch at a wine farm, everybody wants access. What you want access to is what it's different. So when you think about township youth, they want access to employment, education. They want access to fees. When you think of high-income individuals, they want access to universities overseas. They want access to more data from their parents. They want access to different things, expensive brands.
Right.
So what brands need to do is to kind of find what their sweet spot is and start interacting with youth. And then what makes them want access is obviously their need state.
Mm.
So I always refer to we use insights to communicate with youth in their need state. So when you think about you on Idols as an example, the need state there is wanting to be famous, right?
Oh, right.
And they will queue for days on end.
Yes.
Because they're wanting a shot at being famous, because for them, one, when you look at high-income individuals, maybe it's just because they want to have more Instagram followers. But when you find, I'm sure you've known stories of whereby literally it was a breakthrough and changed the life of the person and the family in total. So that's the sort of jobs and work that we do at HDI.
That's very interesting. I would imagine there's some brands that do this better than others.
Yes, definitely.
So in the last couple of years of Generation Next, you must have discovered that there are certain brands who are much more intuitive about what young people want.
Yes.
Whether it's because they're doing their research or whether it's because they just know what they are and the brands are well known to young people who also trust them.
Definitely.
So who are we talking about?
So as much as the brand owners have been wanting to know the results for 2018, we'll keep them to ourselves. We'll release them next week. But we've seen, so from a telco perspective, we've seen Vodacom done phenomenally well. They've always been number one as the coolest telco brand. Then there's always the fight between BMW and Mercedes-Benz, where BMW had taken it for a long time. Then Mercedes-Benz took it again, and then BMW took it again.
So that's interesting, because those are not very few young people in South Africa get their first car as a BMW or a Mercedes, but it's an aspirational brand.
It's an aspirational
brand,
thing. So that's what, and I think that's what the good thing that these brands are doing is, through their aspiration, they're getting them in young. So as much as you can't afford a BMW, clearly the next car that you're able to buy, when you're able to afford a luxury car,
will be a BMW,
right, or be a Mercedes-Benz, right? And then when it comes to fashion brands, Nike has always gotten it.
Really? Nike's ahead of Adidas and the rest of them?
So they've always gotten it, yes. Yes. Okay. But we don't know what's going to happen this year, but they're clearly doing well. And then you get into the banking space. FNB does.
Do young people care about which bank they're with?
Yes, they do.
Okay, and how do we know which ones they choose and why?
So we do study. We go on campus and do research. But through Generation Next, we've seen that FNB is perceived as a very innovative brand, so they've won it a couple of times. But then as well, we've seen Capitec fight last year. Capitec displaced Standard Bank as the coolest brand, and you find that even when you interact with youth, they're not oblivious to bank charges,
right?
And you're seeing it on the growth of Capitec, and not that Capitec necessarily decided to speak to youth, but somehow there's been sort of a spillover.
And also, people these days can find out about things a lot more easily than they could have before. You would have had to rely on very expensive marketing and word of mouth before, but now you could read it on your phone,
yes,
and you could see it in someone's timeline, and suddenly you go, maybe I should try that.
Exactly.
When it comes to banks, though, I've always assumed if you get them young, they usually stay with you.
So I use myself as an example.
Okay.
My first bank when I went to Grahamstown many years ago was Standard Bank. The only reason I left Standard Bank was when I was in my 30s and they refused to give me an overdraft for my business.
Right.
And you find stories whether it was people changed because they're not given a home loan. So it's for the big life-changing transactions that lets people change. But once you've got them in, and mainly it's because they're referred to by their parents, right? So once you get them in young, you can keep them there for a long time. So same thing with mobile networks, right? But you're starting to see a lot of flip-flopping with young people with mobile networks based on data costs and all that. But it used to be people would stick with the mobile network for a very long time.
Yeah, you just stay with the one that you've always been with.
Exactly, exactly.
Unless something goes wrong.
Exactly.
And that's when you're prepared to change.
Yes, yes.
Sia, you've been to a couple of Gen Next Awards. It's interesting to see which brands come to the top and which ones sink down to the bottom. Are there any things that you want to ask Bongani about how some companies that are not very interesting, like insurance companies, how they end up reaching this youth target market?
Because, true.
I mean, that's an area that I'm fascinated by. You know, boring or bland products that don't really appeal to the youth, you still manage to get data on them, and you find that actually there are some young people who are interested in this stuff and who have very strong views.
Yes, definitely. But that's where now we're getting into what we're calling HDI 2.0. Because what's always been in the past is a brand manager will phone you and they'll say, we're having a problem with reaching youth.
Yeah.
Please put up a few gazebos at a university and give away free T-shirts and hoping that they're going to get brand conversion. And we are getting away from that. Where HDI is now growing, going to is being more a youth solutions consultancy, whereby we sit with your brand and kind of not only sit with marketing people, but even sit with product people and saying, I mean, even with your show now, is to say, so Gareth, this is how youth are consuming you now. How are they going to consume you in 10 years? I've got a 7-year-old who didn't know how to read and write, but he knew how to passcode and who Siri was.
Yeah.
Right. So now that's your future consumer who's going to consume your show. So how do we take you along the journey to make sure that in 10 years' time, when he's 17 or when he's 21, how does he consume you and how will that look like?
Hopefully I'll be dead. But that's
in 10 years' time? Jeez, knock on wood.
Okay, but let's just talk about media for a second here, because I'm interested in what you've picked up on young people watching television, listening to radio, reading magazines and newspapers, all the traditional media.
Yes.
And then what they're doing if they're not doing that.
Yes. So we find that consumption on TV is still growing.
Is it still growing?
TV is still dominant. About 92% of youth that we poll say that they watch TV. And my opinion is the fact that South Africa's data costs being quite high. Families cannot afford, not everybody can afford broadband. I mean, you and me can take a run and in 5 kilometers time we'll be in Alex.
Yeah.
And broadband penetration there is very low.
No.
So TV is still quite a big thing, and so is radio. But we're seeing streaming being a big part, which benefits, I guess, shows like this, but also Netflix. And I've been following the multi-choice DSTV debate on social media, where multi-choice are kind of starting to defend themselves. And I'm like, is this another Kodak in the making, whereby consumption of media is changing? Exactly. Consumption of media is changing, and youth are driving that. So we really are seeing a move towards online streaming and online consumption. But I guess as data costs are dropping and fiber is being rolled out, you're really going to see traditional media and traditional consumption being challenged quite a lot.
All right. How about food?
So Big Mac, McDonald's is top. The reason why is that they find it's very convenient. I guess it's one of those where you are with your mates, you've got $40 in your pocket.
Right.
You're able to purchase. And I also think there's a certain aspirational thing about McDonald's. The way that we see it is they kind of rebel for mainstream with family, because family say, let's go to KFC and have a family meal. But as an individual, McDonald's gives you that. So we see that from a food perspective, McDonald's does quite well.
Now, as consumers, because young people control not only their own pocket money and whatever else they have, but they also sometimes make the decisions for their parents on where to go and what to buy.
Yes.
What about shopping malls and online shopping? I mean, are we seeing something start to happen there in terms of a big swing?
So not yet.
But shopping malls still very popular?
Shopping malls are still popular. And when you think about it, youth account for 60% of purchasing decisions in the home.
Wow.
And it's purchasing decisions, not actual purchases. So when you think about, mom worries about the sort of yogurt that the child is going to take in their lunchbox.
Yeah.
So when mom goes to the shop, she's thinking about the child and not herself, right? But then when it comes to shopping malls, it's a place where they hang out. It's the place where they get to meet. It's a place where it's safe. And with all the craziness that's going on in the country, those are safe areas for youth to meet and interact with brands. I think, again, as broadband grows, as data falls, you're going to start seeing a growth in terms of shopping malls. I mean, I was reading a Business Insider article yesterday, and I was just looking about how shopping malls have become ghost towns in the U.S.
Yeah.
It's terrible. And when I ask myself, what are the local shopping mall owners doing to future-proof themselves?
Right. You know,
and this is where HDI comes in, and we have the conversation with them saying, you need to start looking at how do you... Having an app on where to find a shop is not good enough. That doesn't make your shop relevant. It's how do you keep people in, and how do you attract them to the shopping mall?
Well, I'd imagine also that there are music and movie things that almost transcend all these categories in some ways, because entertainment is really what a lot of youth are after.
Yes.
So are there brands there that have suddenly emerged, or brands that have died off?
So Cartoon Network, when it comes to kids, should also focus on kids, not just young adults. So Cartoon Network is quite big with kids from an entertainment perspective. Movies is still a big thing for them. And we find that over 20% of young people express themselves through entertainment, because for them, I think it's an outlet. It's how they want to express themselves as individuals. So entertainment is still big, but you do find that some brands are battling in that space in terms of trying to pull through. And then you also see it with radio stations. I'm not going to mention names, but they change up and down as the years go by. Excuse me.
No, that's all right. So your phone's on, so that makes me think social media. And I'm sure that there are social media brands that also go up and down. Yes. I mean, we know that people are all excited about Snapchat and Instagram and less excited about Twitter and Facebook. Is that what you found?
Yes. We're finding that because we look at kids, teens, and young adults, mm-hmm. you find that the trends are that with kids, it's more of Snapchat and Instagram, because those are quite manageable from an access point of view, because either maybe they're using mom's phone or mom is always getting into the account. But then as they get older, you see that the use of Instagram and Facebook is more, because they've got their own device, they're becoming more independent. But again, Facebook is globally, the trend is that it's starting to battle. And I would understand, because I guess your mom and dad are on Facebook, and you do not want to be interacting with your aunt and your uncle, so you kind of like just want to leave that alone and move on. But we're seeing that YouTube is doing very well. And again, I guess it goes to expression, right? They're able to do videos, they're able to have YouTube channels. The other time I was having a conversation with my 12-year-old, and he says, "Can I be a YouTuber?" And I'm like, "No, you can't." He's like, "But they earn a lot of money." And then he Googles it, and then he shows me this guy who's like earning, I don't know, like 120 million or $12 billion or something. Story like that.
Bullshit.
I'm like, come on. Like, who does that? Like, I was like, take your books and go and study. You know? Like, you're not going to be a YouTuber in my home. Yeah,
I mean, I've met thousands of people who say to me that their full-time job is a blogger or a YouTuber.
Yeah.
And they don't earn money out of that. Unless you've got millions and millions of followers, it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, get your head out of your backside and start doing your job.
Yes, yes.
And get to work. Study hard.
Exactly.
Anything you want to throw in there, Sia?
No, I'm just looking forward to
the event
next
itself.
Week.
Yeah, looking forward to hosting you guys there. It's really going to be a good one. And just wanted to give a shout out to Koketso, our new intern.
Yes, Koketso came in with you. Hey, Koketso.
Yes.
This is your first visit here to us?
Yes, it is, actually.
All right. Good. Nice to meet you. You enjoying working at HDI?
Yeah, it's very wonderful.
Yeah? Very wonderful.
Wonderful. I mean, as a young guy, that's the best. I feel like it's the best company I'll ever work for.
Good. And what sort of stuff have you been doing there?
Well, basically, right now, we're chapping into everything. You know, just
are you helping with the event?
With the event?
Yeah, with the Gen Next Awards.
Most definitely. Okay. We have. Yeah, that's basically what we're doing.
All right, man. Nice to meet
you.
Thank you, Bongani.
Thanks,
nice
man.
To see you.
Cheers, man.
Cool. Awesome. We'll see you there at the event. It's all happening on the 14th of June at the Sandton Convention Center, and it aims to give you insights into South Africa's youth market. And we will be involved, as cliffcentral.com, in a panel discussion called How Digital Disruption is Changing Media Consumption of Youth. And Sia Sangweni over here is our brand manager and show host on cliffcentral.com. He will also be the moderator of that panel. You ready, Sia?
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to mess it up, huh?
Well, thanks. No pressure.
So we've got DJ Spoo, David Blythe, CEO of Yellowwood, and Tandin Gwanya, head of marketing and brand communications for Alpha Media, taking part in that panel discussion. And we'll let you know how it goes. We'll let you know what we've discovered, because obviously this is what brands are interested in. You get young people, you have a much longer time you can spend with them. If you get a 70-year-old, they might be dead next year.
Oh, okay.
Thanks,
what
guys.
A happy note to round it off.
See you next week.
Isn't that right? Okay, we will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9. Have an excellent day in the company of cliffcentral.com. Let's wrap it up with the unnews for this morning. And then we've got a repeat of one of our interviews, which I'll tell you about in just a second. But here's what you need to know. Are you ready? Roseanne Barr is begging to get her job back. She's saying she has split personalities and that the ones other than the racist one are still worth hiring. They were taken in by this impassioned plea right up to when Roseanne's racist personality came back, saying that all she wants is for the show's brown writers to be thrown out on their ass. Donald Trump has lashed out at the media for making fun of Kim Kardashian's visit to the Oval Office. He said the negative and at times sexist remarks are mostly coming from older male journalists who have never had a fine piece of ass come visit them at their place of work. And finally, Rassi Erasmus's honeymoon period as Buck coach has ended before it even really began. A crushing loss to a bunch of second-string Welshmen puts the pressure on him instantly, and he isn't taking it too well. Naturally, he pinned the loss on Alistair Coetzee, and how he will need a bit more time to rid the team of the loser mentality of the last two seasons, but we'll see. Coming up, I have a replay of a discussion I had with Thandeka Qubulu and Krivani Pillay, who are both journalists. We spoke to them about being in the SABC 8, their brave journey there and how they stood up for themselves and for the SABC. Despite fearing for their lives, they stood up for it because they wanted to fight for what they believed in, trying to save the SABC, which of course they went on to do. Things changed there, and that interview is here for you to hear next.
This is CliffCentral.com.